All right, good morning, Central. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 3. And let me just add to that which has already been said. I appreciated what Rylan just said a few moments ago in regards to lifting up our hands and certainly adoration and praise, but in recognition of the victory that Christ has claimed on the cross for us by the shedding of his blood. But we're in the first week of what we call Thanksgiving month. So we would raise our hands and our hearts to the Lord filled with gratitude. And I pray that if you don't have gratitude in your heart this day, that maybe soon gratitude is coming your way. Because I do believe this church, we have much to be grateful for. The fact that we can even gather in this place unimpeded, unhindered. The fact that these folks got baptized, quite frankly, I'm going to tell you, I've baptized in a lot colder water than this. And these folks, I tested it earlier this morning. I don't even know why they wanted to get out. I'd have just stayed in there. But much to be grateful for. And Central, I love the way you guys celebrate together, certainly those that are baptized and begin that part of their journey of obedience to the Lord and just signifying what God is already doing in their heart and in their life. Well, if I were to tell some people today, I can help you experience more happiness, more joy, better relationships, and more fulfillment in your life, you would say, where do I sign up? You would be ready for that. The reality is, church, is that we know that people are looking for more happiness. They're looking for more joy in their life. They're looking for a stability and a joy in and amongst their interpersonal relationships. They're looking for more fulfillment in all areas, in all avenues, in all ways of life. But the reality is that we have developed patterns in life. Even children begin patterns in their early lives in just the way they approach life, deal with life, how life comes to them, how they cope with life. And sometimes those patterns lead to that which is baggage that is difficult to deal with, because many people feel helpless and they feel hopeless and they feel terribly, terribly guilty. And all that, when you combine all that together in life, it can be very, very debilitating. Now, some people decide, well, what I'll do is I'll do the God thing. And so many people, when trials and difficulties come, they say, well, I'll go to church because maybe that's what my family did at a very difficult time in life. Or maybe they've seen others do that. So they'll go to church. And church is good. Church is a positive thing most of the time. Did you notice the dramatic pause there? The reality is that sometimes church isn't the most positive thing. Oh me. But sometimes that's a lot on us. But they say, well, I'll do the God thing. I'll go to church, or I'll be religious. Like this morning, you are being religious. The irreligious, if you will, and I'm not being disrespectful, those that are outside of the church, the body of Christ, the Christian faith, those folks would say that we're being religious by being here in church. Church, I hope that you come to church more than just to be religious. I hope that you come to church because you are in relationship with the Almighty God. But folks will say, well, I'll do the God thing. I'll go to church. I'll be religious. And I'll even make some changes in my life. How many of us know too often that those changes in life, they don't last very long? And a lot of times that's, again, because of us. But as good as those things can be, going to church and making some changes and, if you will, being religious, they don't necessarily help a person deal with the realities and the difficulties of life. They don't help a person necessarily know in totality God's love for them, God's acceptance of them and the forgiveness that he offers in Jesus Christ the Son, and how much he loves them. Because you see, church, it's really not about us going and doing the God thing. It really comes down to the fact that God does his thing in us. And that's what these that have become baptized will continue to learn as they walk with Christ and they walk with this church family. That it's about what God continues to do. And as we have sung and worshiped together this morning, that he is faithful. Now, church, we know what the scripture says about the dimensions of God's love, if you will, how great those are in the 103rd Psalm. It tells us in verse 10 that God does not deal with us according to our sins, nor does he repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. For just as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Church, if you will, look at these verses together with me in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. And I'll share with us three different things that go along with helping us deal with the baggage, if you will, that the reality of life can bring into our hearts and lives. Over the last several weeks, we've been talking about how God is faithful and how God makes a way, and he is merciful, and his loving kindness is everlasting towards us, that God makes a way as we trust and as we follow and as we walk in obedience. We've looked at those things together, the first of those being an obvious one, that a person needs to have God in their life. If you sit here in this place this morning, maybe you're here and you came to witness the baptism, and quite frankly, that's the only reason you're here. Can I tell you, friend, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm not trying to get in your face in any kind of way, but I want to let you know, you didn't just come to watch somebody get baptized. Maybe somebody that's a part of your family or somebody significant to you, God knew you would be here even before you did. And God has a reason for you being here. Right now, you maybe even want to slip out. You can slip out, but you'll never get away from God's pursuit of you. Because it's those of us that sit here with Christ in our hearts and in our lives, and we're going to get into this prayer by Paul that he prayed for those that were in Jesus Christ, that God pursues us with everything that he is, and he is everything. And he'll continue to pursue you. But we need God in our life. But secondly, we need those traveling companions, those people that cry with us and weep with us, but they rejoice with us, and we lift our hands in victory and celebration and surrender together as we go about doing this life of faith. And then we talked about last week about wisdom. We must have God. We must have good traveling companions, other fellow believers, sisters and brothers in Christ together, but getting wisdom together. Because human reason and human knowledge will not cut it. It just won't. There's something at some point where we can only take ourselves so far, and those that believe that this world hinges upon human knowledge and reason and wisdom, we'll see one day it won't take them as far as they need to go. And then today we talk about dealing with the realities and difficulties of life. Because the reality is that the reason why some people can't find the happiness they're looking for, the reason why they can't experience that joy in life, the reason why this experience or that experience or this great thing that's happened in their career or whatever it is, it just always seems to come up lacking. And so those things lead to baggage and difficulty. And so let's look at those verses together this morning. As Paul prays this prayer of spiritual strength, it says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, so that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." What's interesting about that prayer, church, is that it is something that would cause at least maybe some folks, maybe a biblical theologian or a person who is very well versed in the Word of God, is it seems like Paul is praying for something that, well, how can that be? It's found in that verse 16, that according to the riches of his glory, that he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Well, if Christ dwells in your heart because you have placed your faith in Jesus, if that is where you are, then what exactly is Paul praying for? I like what one person said. He was praying for the need for an experiential enlargement. An experiential enlargement. That our understanding of being forgiven affects us not just intellectually, not just a knowledge kind of thing, but experientially, emotionally. Listen, church, if there's any life that has lived on this planet, any kind of life at all that shouldn't have, and I'm going to borrow it again, Ryland, a golf clap applied to it, it is not the Christian life. The Christian life is one of celebration and joy and jumping up and down and screaming, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord, for the Lord is risen and I have new life because he is my life." Now granted, sometimes, and I'm not down on us Baptists because I are one, but sometimes let's get a little emotion up in here, church. Let's get a little bit excited. Let's get past the golf clap. And I wonder if that's what Paul was praying for, is that those that were in Christ would have such an experiential enlargement that as we receive forgiveness, as we've confessed our sins and we receive his forgiveness, that even though sometimes in life we may feel bad, we can just ask God, "God, take that from me. Heal me from that." Whatever it is. And God, if you don't do it now, give me the faith and the trust to endure and to believe, as it's already been stated from this platform, that God is good. You say, "Well, Pastor Brian, what would this experiential enlargement be? What is that? Well, it's that Jesus would exert, if you will, a progressively greater and more intense personal influence in the depths of our souls. That we would be emotionally moved by the passion and the affection that God has for us. D.A. Carson writes about that this way. He says, this cannot be some merely intellectual exercise. It can't be something that is just all about intellect and knowledge and gaining knowledge and knowing. Church, I got to tell you, and I'm grateful for it. Did anybody have a tear at least a little bit during the baptism service? I did. And I'm not ashamed about that. Another point during the service, as I gazed up there and looked, and I loved the effects that helped lead us to the throne of grace. And as it went away and the words went away, and there was the picture of Christ on the cross, once again, church, a tear began to form in the corner of my eye. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that emotion of the fact that I'm a child of God. And I want to know the breadth and the length and the depth and the width of God's love for me. You see, he's right. It can't be some intellectual exercise. He writes, Paul's not asking that the readers might become more articulate in the greatness of God's love in Christ Jesus, or to grasp with the intellect alone how significant God's love is in the plan of redemption. He's asking that God, through his grace and his mercy, through the power of his Spirit, would take them to the dimensions of his love, that they would grasp in the reality of their experiences in life, how much God loves them. Look, church, I try to articulate. I try to sound like I'm knowledgeable. And I probably fail most of the time at that. But if you leave this place like it's been prayed, God, make us different than when we came in here, when we leave that we're different, then I don't care what I sound like. I'll preach okey. I don't even know what that's like, but I'll preach okey. I guess when I lived in Arkansas, I preached Arkansan. Ooh, you didn't like that one, did you? The reality is, church, is that intellect can be involved and knowledge can be involved, but God doesn't care about how much we know. He doesn't care about how much we can articulate. What he cares about is changing our heart so that we can walk in joy and happiness. And when the stuff of life comes that's not so fun, we can know that he loves us. See, the reality is, church, is that it's kind of an oxymoron that Paul is even praying this, because what he's praying for and asking for, the reality is, and to me, that's what makes God great. He's praying for something that really goes beyond human measurement. There's no way that you can, there's not enough dimensions or measurements to try to contain or to somehow figure out the depths of God's love. And yet there he is praying praying that we would be able to grasp, rooted and grounded in his love. One person wrote, "It is simply that the supreme object of Christian knowledge, Christ's love, is so profound that its depths will never be sounded. And Christ's love is so vast that it's its extent will never be encompassed by the human mind." So if I look upon and I see Jesus hanging on the cross, and that would cause a tear to well up in the corner of my eye, church, can you imagine what heaven is going to be like with Jesus forever? We can't even imagine the depths of his love for us. And so we receive that forgiveness, but it takes us to forgiving others. I think, church, those that are rooted and grounded, as the scripture says, in love, it's not always easy. Because how many of us know we get tied to offenses? It's hard to get away from them. But who Jesus sets free, the Bible tells us we're free indeed. And I think that means that even when it's tough and even when it's difficult, because I've received forgiveness I must give. And there's freedom that comes from that. And those offenses that might be burdensome and it's just difficult to carry all that luggage around, that unforgiveness luggage. Holding a grudge and resentment in our hearts means that we're always in a mode of punishment towards the offender. And forgiven and forgiving people, they're just better to be around. Doesn't mean it's always easy for them, and it probably hasn't been. But when you're forgiven and you're ready to forgive, in fact, the Bible tells us that we should be ready to forgive. Remember these verses in Luke chapter 17. It tells us that we should be ready to forgive and we should pay attention to our own lives, especially in this area. It says, "Pay attention to yourselves, for if your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day, and turns to you 7 times saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive that person." They're just easier to be around. I don't know if you remember the little Calvin and Hobbes, that little, it's not a cartoon, but a comic strip. There's one where he's swinging on the swing in the playground. And there's a bully named Mo that walks up. He's twice as big as Calvin, and he walks up and he wants the swing. And he tells Calvin, this bully Mo, "Get off the swing," and calls him Twinkie. And Calvin responds, "Mo, you stand in line. Forget it. Wait your turn." And the next frame doesn't have any words. It's just a bunch of fighting and a big roundhouse punch that sends Calvin spinning. In the last frame of that comic strip, there's Calvin lying on the ground with a big black eye. And it says this, "Sometimes it's hard to be religious when certain people are never incinerated by bolts of lightning." You know, church, sometimes, don't get high and mighty now, you've wanted to see some bolts of lightning, haven't you? And so have I. But if we're going to unpack and unload that luggage of unforgiveness, the only way to do it is to forgive. And so we receive this forgiveness as Paul prays for these, and then we forgive others. And hopefully in that and through God's grace and mercy and unloading some other baggage, if you will, that comes from just life and the difficulty of life, we see the new you. He says it this way in that last verse, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. To live full lives in the fullness of God. Because church, I assure you that we've not yet experienced the plenitudes of God in a way that is available for us. We can know what the church is to be in principle. We can know theological truths of what it means to be in Christ. But it is increasingly to realize what the church is in our experience. When we go and we do ministry in Jesus' name, when we've now seen who we are in Christ because we're forgiving others, we have God in our life. We have traveling companions that there's no way we can tell them how grateful we are that they're in our lives. And God, through His grace, is consistently and constantly giving us wisdom through His Word and through experiences with other people. I got some good wisdom the other day. I thought about this and I thought, wow, that's really deep. That's really profound. I don't know if I shared this with you yet, but a fella told me, he said, yeah, I had somebody ask me one time, do I always share the gospel with people? He had asked this fellow this, and to his surprise, the guy said, no, I don't always tell the people the good news or tell a person the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, for every Sunday school teacher and Christian in this place, we gasp. What? Why would we not tell somebody the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ? But then he followed it up with this, but I always tell God about every person that I come across. And church, I had to stop and think about that for a moment because I thought, how many people do I come across each and every day that I never give them a thought? In fact, some of my thoughts might not be that godly, might not be that Christ-like. Like, have you ever gotten caught in the line, whatever store it is, and they just can't seem to find what they're looking for? Or they just can't write that check long enough. I've got places to be, people to see, places to go. I need you out of the way. And I wonder sometimes, church, if we don't notice a lot of things because we never talk to the Father about the people that cross our paths each and every day. But I want to close this morning with an experience that crossed my path through an elderly woman this week. And I'm indebted to the Lord, quite frankly, because I think I celebrated with her for just even maybe just for a moment. Celebrating who I am in Christ because it's all by His grace. And His love. Here was my experience. I went to see a lady, and I went to see her, and I'd spent some time with her, and I was trying to get to know her a little bit and find out some things about her. And then I had also read some scriptures and shared some scriptures with her. And then I decided that I would sing Amazing Grace. Anybody ever heard the song Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound. Because it saved a wretch like me. And so I instructed this woman, if she wanted to, she didn't have to, but if she wanted to join me, she could. And so we began to sing Amazing Grace. But church, it was in the next moment after we started the song, she started singing with me, but then she stopped. I had to keep going. I mean, the show must go on, right? But it was what I got to see, which I know was coming from a heart that was filled with the joy of the love of God. Because I sang and we started together Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. But an interesting thing happened that when I got to the line that saved a wretch like me, again, I kept singing, but she stopped. And church, that which I believe absolutely in heaven was received as an act of worship. The biggest grin on that woman's face from ear to ear. And in that moment, I was able to keep singing. It was a little while before she joined me again, but I thanked God for that moment on that day. Because again, I wondered in my mind, I thought, what does that smile mean? It meant just what the lyrics of Amazing Grace are. The amazing grace of God, a God that would pursue me and love me even in the midst of my selfishness and my sin and my failings. He saved a wretch like me. And that woman, and I promise you the greatest act of worship in those moments in that room, because it wasn't my voice, she smiled. And then I thought about my own life. Just for a moment. Man, God, you are amazing. And so is your grace. And your love knows no bounds. And yet, church, it's when we scratch the surface, as Paul prayed for those to know the depth and the breadth and the length and the width, to be rooted and grounded in that, to walk and to live in the fullness of God, to know that we'll never, ever get there in this life. I'll close with this. These words, they come from Max Lucado's book, Traveling Light. if I can find those words. He says, you have a God who hears you, the power of love behind you, the Holy Spirit within you, and all of heaven ahead of you. Let's pray. Father, maybe some of us come to this place this morning and our lives and our hearts maybe are even heavy or burdened because of the baggage that comes from life. Lord, by the power of your Spirit and through your grace, would you enable us to maybe smile just for a moment as we consider your commitment to us and your faithfulness to us. Father, there is a heart that is burdened and has never given life's burdens to you. I would pray that you would give them the faith to trust and to believe. Lord, you want to lighten that burden. You want to give them the strength and the power that they need to face whatever may come their way. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the people of this church. May grace abound in this place, so that as they receive your forgiveness and forgive others and see themselves as they truly are, a new creation in Christ, God, you would enlarge their territory of ministry, sharing the gospel, sharing the good news. Lord, we thank you for your love today. In Christ's name.